preaching in your new building. You've been here about a year now. Is it a year? March, was it last year? February? No, you guys don't have a clue. It's a year. Just trust me. It's around about a year. I remember coming to the opening about a year or so ago, which was a fabulous, fabulous event, and love what Nigel and Andrew have done in this community here. And I think it's early days for C3 Wellup. It's early days. And when you plant a church and you begin to grow that church, you kind of form together, and it's always an interesting first few years, I believe, when a church starts. So you're off on a good launch this year, getting stronger. Man, if I could be as strong as Pastor Nigel, I have to get to the gym more often to be as physically strong as Nigel. But it gets stronger in our heart and our spirit. The vision for this year, I think, is a top vision to buy into. I remember when I became a Christian many years ago, and I remember kind of thinking, as I was kind of contemplating the whole area of prayer, I remember reading a guy called David Wilkinson, who was a firebrand preacher in the States, got into New York City, was working with gangs in there. And David Wilkinson was a very black and white sort of guy. It's just either you're full on or you're full off. And I remember reading in one of his books, he wrote, and he said, if you have never prayed for 15 minutes, then you don't love Jesus and you never have. I thought, my goodness, I read that and thought, well, I've never prayed 15 minutes. I've been a Christian for a couple of months and I've never prayed 15 minutes. I love Jesus, so I'm going to have to prove this. So I got up the next morning, and I was living in a little caravan by myself at the time, and I knelt down by the little bed in the caravan because I thought, oh, prayer involves kneeling. That's what I thought prayer was all about. So I knelt down, put my hands in front of me, and I had a little travel clock. And I kind of set that up on the bed, and I thought, I'm going to go for 15 minutes, you beauty. So I put my head down, began to pray for my mum and dad, my sister, began to pray for my friends, praying for where I worked. And I'm praying and praying. I think, oh, man, this is so easy. I'm getting into this. And look up, look at the clock, 2 minutes. God, no, seriously. Two? You've got to be kidding me. I felt like I've been going half an hour. Head down again, pray for mum and dad, pray for my sister, pray for my family, my friends, my work. We're not even up to 5 minutes yet. I just put my head down and said, okay, Lord, I'll just have quiet waiting on you. It's not always a good thing to do when you're kneeling, your head on the bed. You know. I was younger then, I didn't go to sleep, but I kind of kept looking up at the clock, and it's ticking slowly towards. That 15 minutes felt like an eternity. Anyone else had an experience like that when you've gone to pray and you thought, man, I'm really killing this, and you realize you've done 7 minutes? You're going to think, oh, man, it's far easier watching Netflix for 3 hours than praying for 15 minutes. But I kind of thought, I'm going to give this a go. So I started a morning habit of trying to pray up to 15 minutes. Trying to get any longer, that was just hopeless. Well, after a few months, I went to Bible college. And in the Bible college, I went to our principal, Des Short, a great man of God, he preached about seeking the Lord in a classroom. We had about 2 or 3 hours on seeking the Lord, and we're looking at all the scriptures about seeking God. And he said, your assignment this afternoon, it was a live-in Bible college, he said, your assignment this afternoon is to go and pray for 1 hour. Yeah, that's what I did too. Are you kidding? An hour. I can go to tick off 15 minutes now. I'm pretty holy now. I can get 15 minutes going, but an hour? You want me to pray for an hour? So I thought, and there's no way I can do this kneeling by a bed, so I've got to go somewhere. So I walked up a hill, the other side of a college, and sat on the hill for an hour and spent an hour waiting on the Lord, which was a lot easier to do out in the open air because there were things to look at and get distracted. So just being honest. And that was the first time in my life I ever prayed for a whole hour. And I came down from that hill knowing that something had moved in me. Something had shifted in me. I don't know how God was with my hour. I don't know if it changed the Lord in any way. But something had shifted in me. And I've found over the years that prayer not only moves the heart of God, it moves the heart of John. It moves me into places that I would not have been otherwise. And over the years, I've discovered some wonderful things about prayer and through prayer. Is prayer still a wrestle sometimes, a struggle sometimes? Absolutely. If you're a young believer and you think, man, by the time I get as old as John, I'll just nail this. It'll be a breeze. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But prayer is a wrestle. Prayer is something that you have to, at times, struggle into. In some seasons, it's a breeze. It's wonderful. It's like the prayer time has been greased with olive oil and you slide through it beautifully. At other times, it feels like there's thorns and prickles everywhere that you're treading on. It's just like, man alive, I'll be glad when this little prayer time is over so I can get on with my day. And I think that's, I don't know if it's your experience, that's been my experience. And probably will be until the day I die. I reckon praying in heaven's going to be a lot easier. Anyone agree with that? It's going to be so much easier in heaven where there's angels are worshiping and we're singing together and meeting Jesus face to face. My goodness, I'm looking forward to that day. Older I get, the more I look forward to it. Seeing Jesus, and then one day I'm going to get resurrected and get a brand new body. A body that can eat vanilla slices and it has no impact on. I'm looking forward to that day. I want to take you into Daniel chapter 6 today and dive into this wonderful story that focuses on prayer. And I want to show you an interesting story about Daniel and why I think Daniel kept praying in a very difficult situation. So I'm in Daniel 6. If you've got a Bible, you can follow along with me. If not, they'll put the text up on the screen for us. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, or probably in our language, mayors, if you like, to rule throughout the kingdom. Now, Daniel's a really helpful book in a lot of ways because every now and again, Daniel will tell us who is ruling at the time that he's alive. Now, Darius, if you go to chapter 1, the guy who was ruling in chapter 1 of Daniel was a guy called Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom of Babylon. Then he was followed by another king, Belshazzar. And then you come to Darius, who's not a Babylonian king, he's a Persian king, king of the Medes and Persians. So the great thing about this, historians can tell us what sort of age Daniel was at various chapters, not all the chapters, various chapters. In chapter 1, Daniel's about 17, 16, 18. Anyone around about 16, 17, 18 here today? Who's around that sort of age? Anyone up the back there? Young guy up the back there? How old are you? 19? 19. Okay, so if you turn around and have a look, that's no, not you. Everyone else looking at you. That's how old Daniel was in chapter 1. He's about 18, 19, around that. Yes, you sir. In chapter 6, Daniel is in his 80s. They can work out when Darius became the king and took over Babylon from the previous empire. Is anyone here in their 80s? I'm kind of looking around. I don't think there's anyone here in their 80s. Anyone here in their 70s? Okay, I'm not going any further because I'm in the next decade. So we're leaving that right alone right there. Daniel is in his 80s in this story. He's an old guy. He has served multiple empires, multiple kings for over 60 years. And that fact is vital in this story. And that's why I'm raving on about it for a little while. So don't see Daniel. If you ever see Daniel in the lion's den in a kid's book and he looks young, someone's blowing it. Daniel was in his 80s, had been serving the Lord amazingly in a Babylonian pagan empire and a Medes and Persians empire for 60 years. So, verse 1 again. It pleased Darius to appoint 110 satraps or mayors or governors to rule throughout the kingdom, with three chief ministers over them. One of them was Daniel. So here's Daniel in his 80s. Those of you who want to retire at 65, Daniel's still working. And he's not just working. He's not one of the 120 governors and mayors. He's one of the top three guys in the kingdom. He's still sharp. He's still alive. He's still got his wits about him. He's doing well. He's probably doing the Daniel fast every now and again to kind of keep his body healthy. No, you never heard of the Daniel fast. Okay, right. I'm just moving along. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. In other words, he wanted to protect all his kingdom, the treasures, and the whole deal that's going on. Now, verse 3. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the chief ministers and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. How cool is that? Daniel stands out so well that the king, Darius, is saying, you know what, I got three guys running the whole thing. I'm going to put one guy over the top of everything. Daniel's my man in his 80s. Wow, fancy being that highly recommended in your 80s. Can you imagine, Stephen, you're going hard in your career and your work. Imagine in your 80s. No, you won't have a rest by then, don't you? No, I reckon the Lord's got more for you. In your 80s, believe God for a great decade. At this, the chief ministers and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel, his conduct of government affairs. People were jealous of him, so they tried to undermine his leadership, and they were unable to do so. I love this. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Wasn't lazy, even though he'd served in these empires for over 60 years. No corruption, no bribery, no kind of winking at this, winking at that, letting dodgy deals go through. He was a man of integrity, straight up and down. And he wasn't lazy. He just can kind of rest on his laurels. He didn't kind of just let everything go past. He was diligent in his 80s. Amazing. Finally, these men said, I would like this said about me. We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. How good is that? The only problem we're going to find with Daniel is something about his faith, something about his walk with God. So these chief ministers and satraps went as a group to the king and they said, may King Darius live forever. The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisors and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays, and this is the first use of the word pray in the story, but it will pop up a number of times because this story is focused on prayer. That anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, should be thrown into the lion's den. That's the way that they had capital punishment back in that empire. They'd feed you to the lions. Not a very pleasant way to die, I would imagine. Now, your majesty, issue the decree, put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So all these leaders, to get rid of Daniel, they go, the only thing we can find wrong with him is about his walk with God, and especially his prayer walk. So we'll go to the king and we'll say, hey, king, let no one pray to any god or any man or any person for 30 days. Can you imagine the king's sort of ego? Kind of putting the king up there with God. Darius kind of gets this boost of ego and goes, that's probably a pretty good idea. No one can pray to any god or to any person except me for 30 days. And so he gives a big yes to this in verse 9. King Darius put the decree in writing. Verse 10 is a remarkable verse. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published. Now imagine you're in your 80s. You have been serving the Lord for 60, 65 years in two pagan empires. You're serving kings who don't follow your God, but you have faithfully, for over 60 years, served the Lord. And a decree comes out that if you are caught praying for the next 30 days, you'll be fed to lions. What would you do? You know what I would do? If I was in my 80s and had been caught just had a life of prayer and everything, and for 6 years to serve the Lord, I'd be saying to the Lord, Lord, it's only 30 days. I'm not going to do what I normally do, because people obviously know normally that I pray. So I'm going to have quiet, contemplative, lying down on my bed for 30 days prayer. Might even go down by the River Euphrates and walk along the River Euphrates. People will think I'm out for just a walk, but actually I'm out just doing a prayer walk, but no one is really going to know. And Lord, it's only 30 days. Because personally, I don't know about you, but I don't want to die being munched on by a lion. Would you think like that? I think like that. I think, come on, Lord, you cut me a slack for a month. Even if I didn't pray for a month in any kind of big way, do you think the Lord would be kind of okay with that? I think he would. I think if it's a God of grace and love, I think he'd be going, yeah, no worries, John, all cool. Have a Sabbath month off. Talk to me every now and again when you want to. Daniel doesn't do that. I would do that. I would find another way to pray. Look at what Daniel does. This is remarkable. When Daniel learned the decree had been published that if you pray to anyone else but the king for 30 days, you're going to be fed to the lions, he went home. He hears the decree. He goes home to his upstairs room where the windows open towards Jerusalem, and three times a day got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. What a fanatic. What a crazy guy. I mean, I would be, seriously, I would not do that. I would just go, you know what, I'm just going to take it easy for 30 days. I'm going to have window shut prayer time, lie on my bed prayer time, walking by the river Euphrates prayer time. But Daniel says, I'm going home, I'm throwing the windows open, and I'm kneeling in the window, I'm facing towards Jerusalem, three times a day. Jewish prayer rhythm was three times a day, evening, morning, and noon. You read in the Psalms, the Jewish prayer rhythm. The Jews would pray three times a day. And Daniel, three times a day, would throw the windows open and pray out loud. Why would you do that? I think there are some reasons why Daniel would have done it. Because I think about the reasons of why I've been a person of prayer for nearly 50 years now. Since I came to Christ, why do I keep going to a place of prayer? One of the reasons I think Daniel would have done this, and it's kind of intimated in the scripture, is this is his habit. This is his routine. This is the rhythm of his life. Three times a day, evening, morning, and noon. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Pastor Nigel was talking about giving thanksgiving to the Lord out of that ACTS acronym of prayer, thanking the Lord just as he had done before. I think Daniel had a decade-old rhythm of prayer, and even when it came to facing being munched on by lions, he said, Lord, I'm not stopping. Lord, I'm not giving up. Lord, I'm going to keep a habit of prayer. One of the things I developed, and it started with that 15-minute challenge, kneeling in that little caravan with my little clock over here, was just a morning habit of prayer. And so I kind of got going on the 15 minutes. Some mornings back then it would be 3 minutes. I'd just give it up. I couldn't be bothered. Other mornings I'd go 20 minutes. And then when I did this 1 hour of seeking the Lord, sometimes it'd be an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes 20 minutes. And I found that over the years, what I build up is what I call my time and my place habit. My habit is so entrenched in my life now. I get up, I make myself some coffee, I get some water, and I head to my place. I have a little place I pray. In fact, I have two places at the moment. In summer, I have a place outside. It's beautiful morning, summer mornings. I sit outside and I got my coffee, my water, I got my Bible, I got my brand new Bible, got it for Christmas. It's a ripper Bible. It's a style of Bible called TYB, called Trash Your Bible. Seriously, that's what it's called, Trash Your Bible. So you've got my sermon notes in my Bible. I'm writing in my Bible. I'm ruining this Bible as quickly as I possibly can. I'm loving this Bible. And I sit there with the Lord, and I talk to the Lord, and I read the scriptures. And when the weather's not good, I got another place. It's upstairs in my study, and I've got a nice IKEA chair, and I sit in the IKEA chair, and I got a little table, and I got coffee. You know what it is? I've got a locked-in habit. I've got a routine. And I don't break that routine. I do a lot of travel with my work today, but I still have the same routine. When I get up in a hotel room, I make myself a coffee. I got nowhere else to go. I just got the one room. I got my Bible. I got my coffee. I've just got my time for the Lord. And some mornings it's 5 minutes. Some mornings it's 30 minutes. Some mornings it's 50 minutes. Some mornings it's an hour. Other mornings it's 2 minutes. Read one scripture. Hi, Lord, how you doing? I'm good. Bless my day. Here I go. I don't kind of set the clock like I used to and got to go 15 minutes because I've got a relationship. It's a habit. It's a routine. What's your time? Where's your place? Could you take me to your place? Could you tell me your time? And I found, for me personally, to me it's like Daniel. I don't want to give up this time and place because it has become part of who I am as a man of prayer. I don't want to give up the scriptures. I don't want to give up that time. And like I said, it's a routine, but it's not kind of locked in like I got to do it for 25 minutes every day and it's got to be a certain amount of Bible. It's a relationship of walking with the Lord. Some of you have left your time and place. It's time to push the reset button. Time to reset that time and that place and get yourself back into that habit as Daniel had. I reckon the second reason why Daniel would not have given up the place of prayer is that too often he'd seen God answer prayer. If you go to Daniel chapter 2, it's a fabulous story of an answer to prayer where King Nebuchadnezzar said to all the wise men in the kingdom, "Hey, I've had a dream. Tell me the dream and the interpretation or otherwise they'll kill you." These kind of kings were into killing people. And their killing was all sorts of different methods as well. None of them pleasant or quick. And Daniel grabs his friends and says, "Hey, we better pray or we're going to die." It's kind of opposite to this one. Stop praying and you'll live. Daniel ignored that. Daniel 2, he's praying, you fight. It's a great story of prayer where they prayed and they sought the Lord and the Lord gave them the dream and the interpretation of the huge image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about, the coming of Jesus, the kingdom of God, coming through Christ the rock. Daniel had multiple answers to prayer over 6 years. One of the reasons I keep praying is that God hears me when I pray. God listens when I pray. I think of my daughter in her late teens. For about 5 years, she got involved in an area of her life that, whilst it wasn't immoral or illegal or unethical or anything, it was just an area of her life that I felt was really unhealthy for her. And you know what? I don't know if you've got older teenagers or you've raised teenagers, but I find that kids get to a certain age and they do not think you as a dad have any wisdom. Okay, I can see by the laughter some of you are there or been there. They kind of think, "Hey, dad doesn't know anything." And so you find as a parent, I find it more powerful to pray than talk to them sometimes. I'll do the talking thing. I'll drop seeds in. When my kids were younger and didn't have a car license and I'd have to drive them everywhere, be their Uber, they'd hop in the car and they'd put the radio on when they get in the car and I'd just reach over and put the radio off. Say, "My car, my rules." And so we'd drive for a quarter of an hour to drop them somewhere. And all the way, I just keep dropping in seeds. Force them to listen. No headphones in. My car, my rules. You have to listen to me. "Dad, can you be quiet?" "No, I like talking to you." "I'm not listening to you." "Yes, you are. Your ears are open." And just seeding those things and into that sort of area. And Erin got into this area of life where she wouldn't take any advice. And Di and I, for 5 years, prayed into that situation. And I'll never forget this. The day she came and sat in our lounge room and said, "Mom, Dad, I think I need to get out of this deal that I'm currently in. I don't think it's good for me." Di and I looked at each other and just smiled. Said, "Really? Do you really think that, Erin?" "Oh, I think you could be right." Inside we're going, "Yes, yes." And she popped out of it. Complete answer to prayer. One of the reasons I'll never give up the place of prayer, never give up the place of prayer, is when I was going through a deep depression 20-odd years ago, I was in a place of prayer. And even in deep depression, I refused to give up this habit. In fact, when you're in a deep depression, it's one of the better habits to keep going, actually. When you're in deep anxiety, deep depression, a habit, a routine of prayer, of sitting with the Lord, even when it feels like it's completely and utterly useless, it's a brilliant habit to keep in your life. And I remember sitting with the Lord and this moment of prayer, in a time of prayer that was one of the most difficult seasons for prayer for me. I had this vision of the Lord reaching down from heaven and holding my shirt. I'm dangling like a rag doll and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "You can let go, but I never will." And that vision, I think, man, if I had left the place of prayer, I would never have had that. And that vision sustained me through that horrible, dark, nasty season. See, God will answer prayer. It may take 5 years. I've been praying for my parents for nearly 50 years to come to Christ. I'm going down to visit them after church today down in Mandurah. Dad's 94. Mum's nearly 93. They are so old. Seriously, Mum is deaf as a doorpost, won't get hearing aids. Dad's on oxygen, he's got emphysema. He's about to get a gopher. If you see anyone who looks like me in their 90s on a gopher in Mandurah, get out of the way. Because he's blind in one eye and he's only just stopped driving. It's hilarious, so hilarious. Go down and see them. I've been praying for their salvation for nearly 50 years. And the stubborn beggars won't give in. So stubborn. I even prayed, Di and Vi visiting Mum recently, and Di said, pray for your mother before we go. I go, oh, okay. So as I go around, Mum, just going to put my hand on and pray for you. Yeah, okay, son. So lay hands on him, pray for her, and amen. Mum doesn't even give me a courtesy amen. Not even a courtesy amen. Di said it was weird. She told me in the car later, it was weird. Your mum never closed her eyes all the time you pray. It's kind of like, ugh. Because she doesn't believe. Dad's in hospital 6 times last year. Di talks to him about the Lord, and he says, no, I don't need the Lord. Dad, you're 94. You're going to eternity pretty soon. Trust me. You need Jesus. So have I stopped praying for Mum and Dad? Of course not. Of course not. I go down and visit them today. Mum wants to buy a new tablet because the old Samsung tablet she's got, I don't mean pills, I've got plenty of those, but Samsung tablet got a bit slow, and so Facebook is not as good on the old tablet. My mum's on Facebook. She wants to join my Grow a Healthy Church group. It's hilarious. I don't know what's going on with them, but I'm hanging on to Jesus. You have to hang on to Jesus when you don't see the answer coming over the hill, folks. I'll hang on. I'll take it as the last breath out of my parents' mouth. I believe in Jesus. Gone. I'll take that. I'll take anything. Come on. That thing you're praying for, don't you give up. Don't you give up. Come on. Lean into it again. You might be disappointed. I tell you, oh, I'm so ticked off. Mum and Dad, sit with me in church. Brilliant service. Brilliant altar call. Brilliant preaching because I was doing it. Awesome. You think they would respond? Oh, come on. We are people who persevere. We are people who endure. We do not give up in prayer. I think another reason, give you a couple more and I'll finish, why I think Daniel stayed in a place of prayer under the threat of lions is that he had a hunger for the presence of God. One of the things I love about prayer, and this doesn't happen often enough, but every now and again while I'm praying, I'll just get, oh, Lord, you're here. Now, I know he's always here theologically. I understand that biblically. But there are times when the Lord turns up in ways that he doesn't at other times. Deeply frustrating because I'd like him to do it more. But I can tell you about times where I've just sat, put on a bit of music, and just waited for the Lord. I learned this as a young man, playing a guitar in my bedroom as a single young guy. Sing and sing for an hour, hour and a quarter, and sing and worship until I felt the Lord turned up, the presence of the Lord. And I put the guitar aside and I just sit there and go, God. It's one of the best ways to calm your soul is to sit somewhere, throw your phone out, put on some music, just sit and wait for the Lord. Just wait for the Lord. Wait on the Lord and just wait. I reckon it's actually one of the best things you can do on the planet. Because then when the Lord turns up with that, and if you've never experienced this, try this at home this week. 1 hour a day with worship music on. You're kidding me, John. An hour? You can't be serious. There's Netflix. You know, I'm a Netflix series I've got to get through. An hour a day. Just carve out an hour. There's 24 of them. I only want them. Don't need more. want some worship music, and if you play an instrument, play an instrument and sit there with the Lord. You do that 1 hour a day for the next 7 days, the Lord will turn up. If you've never experienced this, I'll guarantee. If he doesn't turn up, ring me, and I will personally apologize for him, and then I'll tell him off. If you seek me, you will, not maybe, not possibly, you will find me, the Bible says. Rock solid guaranteed promise. So when you go to hit the Netflix button this week, you say, oh, I might just go and have an hour with the Lord. And you're going to have 2 hours on Netflix. Last reason. It's hard to nail this exactly, but in Daniel 9, there's a massive chapter where Daniel realizes he's reading Jeremiah and he realizes that the 70 years of captivity that Jeremiah prophesied are coming to an end. And he launches into, he's in his 80s, he launches into a 21-day fast. Oh, wow. Not sure if I want to do that in my 80s, Steve, actually. 21-day fast. I wonder if one of the reasons, and I'm not sure if Daniel 6 and 9 are exactly around the same season, they're pretty close. But I wonder if one of the reasons Daniel went to a place of prayer and refused to move was that he had this deep prophetic sense that he was in a pivotal season. I actually think your word for the year, I think Pastor Nigel's hit on something that is especially appropriate for your campus. You're a church plant that's been going 3 or 4 years now. So You're in a scenario, and I'm going to put a bit of challenge out here for you if I can. You're in a scenario that I think this year could be a year. Don't interrupt me. This is very important. You're fine. No, stay there. You're fine. You know me. Is that your little one? Oh, so cute. You having any more, Steve? You going again? Oh! You got your 5 now? 4. 5. Sorry. I wonder if C3 Wellard is actually in a significant season that strengthening prayer is actually more than just a good idea at the moment. I wonder if it's actually crucial for your church. I wonder if you're in a season where God is saying, come on. Come on, step up. Come on, get stronger in seeking me. Get stronger in connecting with me. Because as you as an individual, you and your family get stronger in prayer, a whole tide of that rises in the church. And you have such a great foothold in this community. But I tell you what, over the next 10 years, what the Lord wants to do in this community, through this church, I believe is going to blow your brains. The Lord has far more in mind in this community, I think, than what we realize at the moment. I think I'm kind of excited. I have to ask Nigel, get me down here and preach again. There's such a, I can feel something in the air in this area and in this church for your future, and I will be watching with bated breath. Why don't you close your eyes where you're sitting? These 4 reasons to keep on praying. As you get a habit and a routine, you look to God for the answers he's given you previously. You hunger for his presence. You realize that certain seasons demand certain levels of prayer. While every eye is closed, I want to challenge you this morning. I've already done that a little bit, but I really want to put a challenge in front of you. Maybe you have never prayed for 15 minutes. Maybe you're like me when I was a young believer and never done 15 minutes at all of just solid prayer. Challenge I want to put in front of you today is this week, I want you to pick a day and a time and a place and commit to praying for 15 minutes at that time. Just once, it's all I want. I want you to get started. Some of you have never prayed for an hour. Never prayed for an hour. You've never given the Lord an hour of waiting on him, seeking him. Some of you have previously done it, but it's a habit that's dropped way out of your life. And I want to challenge you this morning, right now, to pick a time and a place this week where you're going to give the Lord an hour to wait on Him. You're going to throw some music on, but you're going to give Him an hour to wait on Him. Might be early morning, might be middle of the day, might be night, might be a prayer walk. I don't know. You pick your place, you pick when. But some of you have felt a stirring of the Spirit of God this morning to give the Lord that hour. Once you make your decision right now, your 15 minutes or your hour, when you're going to do it, pick a day of the week, pick the time, pick the place. I want you to nail this right down so specifically. Your time of the day, which day, and where you're going to do it. Is it 15 or is it 60 minutes? Some of you already have strong habits in this area. And today is designed to give you a fresh boost to continue those habits, to cement those habits, to persevere in seeking the answers you need. While every eye is closed, I want you to just do one response in settling this decision. Just want you to raise your hand high in the air and say, John, I'm in for this decision. Go ahead now and commit to it. Just raise your hand high. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks up the back. Thanks up the front here. Thanks in the middle. You can put your hand down once you've raised it. It's good sometimes just to physically respond. Yep, I'm in. I know my time, place. I know where. I know when. Got it locked down. Committing to it right now. If you haven't raised your hand yet, but you want to, go ahead and do that right now. It's good to make a commitment, lock it in, settle it, then I'm going to pray for you. Jesus, I'm asking for those who've made decision, raised their hand and committed to a time and a place, a when and a where. I'm asking now for grace and the empowering of your Spirit that they would feel strength come into them to fulfill this commitment. Let them feel strong right now, strong about this. I pray as they even head home today that that strength will grow within them, that there'll be even a joy on it, and the joy of looking forward to what they're going to do in prayer will bring strength into their soul and their spirit. Holy Spirit, keep them, as Nigel has prayed already, keep them from every temptation that the evil one would distract them with away from this prayer commitment they've made today. I thank you, Lord, that you can anoint us to be women and men of prayer, to seek you, to wait upon you. I ask, Lord, for an ability to wait upon you, an anointing on us to wait upon you, Jesus. Seal this in our hearts, I pray, Lord. Do it for your glory. Do it to make C3 Wellard stronger in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.